Welcome, everybody. Quarantine Day XX here on the Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden show. Chuck and Julie, we're going to have a great show for you today. We've got some great guests and have a good time here in quarantine season.
That's right. You know, our show today brought to you in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a place I check every morning. And then at night, too, ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
They give you, just like us,
truth straight up. We got a former Senator Tim Neville coming up with us here in a second. And Jan Cook, also with the report in the legislature. They were supposed to convene today, and they did not. Well, they kind of did, and then they kind of did not. As far as I'm concerned, the less convening, the
better.
Every
day they don't convene is a day for liberty.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, and that's exactly what we wanted to talk about with Tim Neville. And Tim, I don't know if you want to come on in with video. All you got to do is click on the little video icon. Otherwise, we can just talk to you. Some people are like, no, I don't want to do video. But you put
sure.
up. Okay. Are you there?
I'm glad to. I'm just trying to find the video.
There's a little icon on the lower left hand, as I point here, like you can see it, on the lower left hand.
Oh, very good.
There you go. There you are.
There he is.
All right.
That's the magic of video. Hey, thank you.
A little dark, huh?
A little dark. Yeah, it could lose a little lighting, but.
No, that's all right. The camera's adjusting.
Okay.
It'll adjust.
And then also to our great host at BBS Radio, they put us side by side, so it looks fine. So you sent out a letter the other day, a newsletter, Liberty versus Tyranny. And I just thought, man, you hit it head on. And why don't I, rather than me kind of paraphrase it, why don't I let you just go ahead and say what you were saying?
Sure. Well, thanks, Chuck and Julie. Thanks for having me on. You know, there's a lot of frustration out here in the field, I think, with just average people. And there seems to be a huge disconnect. But I guess the biggest disconnect I saw was the fact that government was choosing that moment in time when things were starting to come under control, when the president was actually doing certain things that I thought were positive to basically reduce regulation and get private enterprise actually responding to the issue. And people were cooperating. And then here comes the force of government through Jared Polis and, of course, Mayor Hancock and others to basically, use the force of government to try to accomplish something that, frankly, government really can't accomplish.
Right. You know, let me ask you about this. So Jared Polis held a news conference today.
Did you happen to see it?
Did you see it at all?
I did not.
Okay.
Lucky
well,
you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he talked about, there are a couple of things that concern me about it. One, good news, he said, the social distancing appears to be working. Yes, the cases are going up, but they're going up slower. They saw that in New York too. So, okay, that's fine. But then he said, he had these graphs and charts out that were basically, it made it clear the government is tracking people as they drive, right? Now, I know some of that is just computer modeling and things like that. But you know what? I think the darker you leave it, this is my TV experience.
You want it dark.
You want it dark.
Yeah, because that'll highlight your face. Otherwise, it'll.
Although we could say you don't want to be identified for interviewing you anonymously. No, you're fine. But anyway, so they're tracking vehicle trips, right? Which to me was kind of freaky. We know they're tracking basically cell phone places.
Yeah.
And then Paula said, and I don't get this, he was complaining because people were driving. Now, I get social distancing. I get that we don't want to go to movie theaters. I get the restaurant thing. What I don't understand is why, if I want to get in my car and drive to a trail or even a park or someplace where I usually
run, obscure park,
there are not a lot of people there. I'm not talking about going up, you know, to Loveland Pass or something like that.
Sure.
I'm not supposed to do that, he said. I got a sister, for instance, in Illinois, who is a very high-risk person for this disease, right? She has four kids. She told me the other day, I think a lot of moms can get this, she just couldn't take it anymore.
It's either suicide or going out.
So she called her friend, and she and her friend got in their cars, drove to a parking lot, stayed in their cars, and just talked to each other. I don't understand why, on top of everything else, Polis is now saying we're not even supposed to be driving in our cars to go. I mean, to me, it's just, like you said, it starts to smack of like tyranny in a surveillance society.
Well, I think it is. I think, first of all, the question you have to ask yourself is, does it actually create any kind of a safer Colorado?
Right.
And the answer really is no. And then the next question you say is, why is it being utilized? Other than from a political standpoint of being able to take that moment in time when things were working with a lighter governmental touch from the president. And I can't say I always agree with the president, but a lighter governmental touch and then a heavier governmental touch at the local level. I mean, there's definitely a clear political agenda, in my opinion, why the governor chose to do this at this point in time. Well, and actually why Mayor Hancock is operating the way he's operating too.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. And what they have to do, each one has to top each other. So Charlie Hogan, who's a Republican kind of sort of in Maryland, said, okay, no one can leave their home. And so Northam, because, oh, wow, that's, you know, Northam and you know, our famous blackface guy decided to, oh, yeah, that's for Virginia, too. And that's till June 1st. And the next one will say for the next 10 years. I mean,
right.
You scratch a progressive and you get an authoritarian. And you can see if Polis is creepy. I mean, honestly, he's creepy in these deals. I mean, you know, the New York governor may be reassuring, but I promise you, Polis is creepy. And he just wants to control.
Well, I think the biggest fear that they have is that they are showing that all of their progressive ideology is actually failing in a situation like this situation we're in right now. I mean, putting people into urban corridors, rapid
Sardine
transit
houses, yeah.
Well,
the
even
whole thing. So right. It's a total failure of progressive policies that we've seen pushed on us for the last, I don't know how many years. And I think that's their big fear. So if they didn't step in at this point in time, and this is the play I see, they step in at this point in time and what was voluntary becomes mandatory. And then they'll be singing their praises and patting each other on the back how government actually saved people when government actually didn't. And it's actually destroying the whole economy in the process.
Well, and, you know, let me ask about, you know, what you got to back earlier, because I was hopeful, you know, and I watched President Trump's news conference. And, you know, to me, Trump, he's darned if he does and darned if he doesn't. Like you said, you have all of these other places closing down. Right. And if you're Trump, you know, I think he was trying to say, you know, wait, we want to try to save the economy here, too. And then you get, I don't know why, to a certain extent, we're letting health officials determine the course in the economy of the entire country. To me, that's why we have elected officials. And I'm going to talk about, for instance, the Tri-County Health Department, the Jefferson County Health Department, unelected bureaucrats who initially issued the stay at home order. To me, that's why we have elected officials, right? So people like
so they
you,
can be dictators.
So they can be dictators, yeah, but at least they get elected and they can be thrown out of office.
Sort of here in Colorado.
I mean, to me, it seems like there's this sort of political peer pressure, right? Where once one does it, everybody else is pretty much obligated to. Common sense goes out the window.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think one of the things, I was on the website this morning of the Colorado Department of Public Health, and I know when I was in the legislature, I didn't exactly have probably a warm and fuzzy relationship with them. In my opinion, they were very politically motivated, on a variety of things. And there was an interesting thing I saw. It said, it's sort of a disclaimer that's at the bottom of their numbers, their coronavirus numbers. And it says, a number of cases includes people who have had a test that indicated they were positive for COVID-19. Okay. The number of cases also includes epidemiologically linked cases. Or cases where public health epidemiologists have determined, I don't know how, this is through their, I guess, expert judgment, because apparently they're scientists and we should trust them completely,
right?
That infection is highly likely because a person exhibited symptoms and had close contact with someone who tested positive.
What?
So, yeah. Now, this is the last piece, though. The number of epidemiologically linked epidemiologically linked cases represents a very small portion of the reported cases. Does that sound scientific at all to you?
No. Well, you know, I've done a lot of research looking at numbers, and the one thing I found is even the same source, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the Colorado Health Department, their numbers, their own numbers, when you just look at seasonal flu numbers, are all over the place. Sometimes it includes the flu. There's a big difference, too, when they determine did somebody die with the flu or did somebody die from the flu? Huge difference, right? I could be shot in the head. And if I had coronavirus, I made a perk. But I mean, there's just
if a coronavirus gets into a hospice care, those are people who are not expected to live 90 days. That's why they're in hospice care. And they go, well, we had 10 deaths. Well, yeah, you had 10 deaths, and those people were close to death before. And so, do you include them? Not include them? Well, these days you include everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter how you died. Oh yeah, it's linked. link doesn't mean cause. It's just a quote unquote link between the two. So it's, but I found out, just like anything else in life, epidemiologists don't know what they're talking about. I mean, they're you know, they've studied modeling, they've studied other things, but you know, if you go to the Imperial College, and that was just total BS, Oxford study, and the ones that scare me, I mean, Dr. Brix, you know, the one with the handkerchief, Burks.
She has a pretty scarf. I'll give her that. Scary
car. Well, she wasn't, you know, scary enough. And so it's getting criticized. So she came on today and said 2.2 million, yeah, would die absent social distancing and other things. And there'll be a minimum probably of 200,000. Well, there's no basis for that. We're about to be in April when all flu cuts down. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go any totally away. But her numbers, but she just wanted to be scary enough. I mean, because if you're not scary enough, then the White House press corps doesn't like you. Yamiche Alcindor will be not nice to you. So she said, okay, you want scary? I'll give you a scary. We'll be doing a great job if we keep it under 200,000. That's like me saying, I'll be doing a great job if I shoot under 200 golf. Well, yeah, yeah, great. Well, isn't that just wonderful? It has no basis in reality.
You know what I'd love to see, every time they put those numbers, I'd love to see them put the number of the unemployment rate and actually the number of new unemployment applications that week or that day even. Right. And of course, we see very little about, we're starting to see just a little bit about recovered cases.
Yeah,
but when you start taking a look at the numbers, and I'm kind of a numbers guy, I mean, from my background, it's not adding up.
Right.
It's not adding up.
Let me ask you, in terms of then, what do we do? Because here's what concerns me. So we're in the middle of this crisis, right?
I'm going to move you to see if I can get a little better picture here, but.
Okay, go ahead. You can, yep, keep talking, keep talking.
Yeah, go to Wednesday.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
There
you go.
There's the real you.
There we go.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
So, you know, you look at, you know, we're in the middle of this crisis. So, okay, we're all doing our part, right? We're staying home. I'm being good. Right. You know, I mean, there's nowhere to go anyway.
Lying around the couch. Yeah. Just, you know.
I watched all the Avengers and Fast and Furious a few times. Well, Captain Underpants, all three seasons, three times, you know.
Right.
But when do we, as a society, start to say, well, wait a minute, right? When do we start to say, there was a comment Fox that I agreed with. It's like, when do we start to say, okay, we can sort of close down where necessary, but open where possible? I mean, and who do we say that? Do we call the health department? We had one guy send us an email, said he was just going to stand on the corner with a sign and say, this is freedom. I mean, to me, that's a concern, is how do, since we know, or at least I believe we're being manipulated a great deal by all of this for a lot of reasons. How do we then, where do we draw the line, and how do we find the line to be when we start saying as citizens, okay, enough is enough?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is take a look and start pushing back any way we can as citizens. You know, starting to question things, and I think the average citizen takes a look and starts looking behind the numbers. Here's the thing that frustrates me. I am so sick and tired of not just, you know, liberals, or, you know, there are a number of people that are out there that are scared. I get that.
Right.
I understand.
Scared of what?
Well, no, I mean, there are people who are scared.
Scared of what? Yeah. I had somebody who came back. I had a friend who came back who had a little bit of fever and a little older, you know, and he said, I've got great news.
You know,
I don't have coronavirus. I said, well, what do you have? I have influenza B, which is a more virulent than the two. And I kind of went, you're not better off. Having influenza B will kill you just as much as coronavirus will kill you. What are you afraid of?
Suicides. Suicides of people being depressed and being in their home.
Right.
I mean, they're dead. They're dead. But here's the thing that I saw. This idea of a false dichotomy, that when people push back, and this is what you see on the left, and frankly, a number of people even on the right. And like I said, what I was trying to say is some of those people just have fear, and it's overcome them, and they haven't started using their logic to say, wait a second. First of all, have a little faith in something bigger than you. Realize that, you know, none of us are going to get out of here alive.
Right.
And then start taking a look and saying the false dichotomy of, if we open up wherever we possibly can open up and allow people to get back to work, when people push back and say, but you're going to kill people.
Oh.
No, it's the opposite.
Right.
The opposite is that you're actually going to be a healthier society quicker, better, and faster. And as you mentioned, Chuck and Julie, you said, we need to focus where we need to focus. If we don't focus, if we try to focus everywhere, And right. We have the little people running around the streets reporting their neighbors.
Right.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I've never seen.
What did Channel 9 had a thing saying, here's how to report your neighbor and a business.
To Kyle Clark.
To Kyle Clark. I'm like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. Well, you know, and here's the thing I don't get to, and talking about politics, actually, I do get this. So you look at what can stay open and what can stay closed. And I have noticed, personally, a direct correlation between the businesses stay open and the size of the lobby, right? I mean,
isn't that amazing?
It is. It's a shocker to me, you know? And so that's a thing. And I think that's what people, I hope, will begin to get. It's like, why is it that a dry cleaner is an essential business, right? But an acupuncturist or a chiropractor.
Or a dentist.
Or a dentist isn't. And so people start to look at, and I think, like I said, I think it's time to continue raising these questions and say, let's start figuring out when should we start, I guess maybe the word would be surgically, opening things up. And
well, here's the thing. I think you go through the other premise.
Okay.
I like to go through the premise why I say, tell me why this must stay closed.
Right.
And then at that point, if somebody says a business must be closed because of certain of its practices or whatever else, then at least allow that business to say, hold your horses a second. This is what we've actually improvised within our business to make sure that we've lowered those. But if you always start from the standpoint of government saying, we're going to close you down first because we're going to protect you, that's totally wrong. It'll do just the opposite.
Well, here's another thing. I mean, I trust nothing that's said in the media these days. Nothing. So when
except for the Chuck and Julie show.
Well, that's Uber media. But as and they said, okay, masks don't do any good. I go, BS. I mean, N95 masks.
The hospital,
N95 masks, which don't cost a lot, are incredibly helpful. Incredibly. But why are you distancing yourself 6 feet but not wearing a mask? It makes no sense because 6 feet is how far, if you sneeze, the coronavirus, you know, on average travels. Sometimes it goes 9 feet, sometimes it goes 10 feet or 20 feet. Who knows? So social distancing is all claiming. And they never say, you also should wear those plastic gloves.
Hollywood people are wearing them.
Yeah, well, you should wear them. If it's
Katie
on the
Holmes
surfaces,
is wearing them as she was
cleaning
New York.
Well, you should. If you have a respiratory mask and gloves and you social distance, the chances of getting coronavirus are significantly reduced. Do they tell you that? No. They tell you you must do social distancing. Why? Because somebody told them you'll deprive all the people in the hospitals from their masks. They say, make more of them, you know, order GM to make 10 billion of them. Don't tell us to do ineffective. Believe nothing they tell you, nothing.
You saw today, I think there were several articles relating to the company that had actually found a way of using hydrogen peroxide and aerosolizing hydrogen peroxide to clean these masks and actually reuse them.
Right.
And the CDC finally, I guess just today, I don't know if it's CDC or FDA, finally approved them. Originally last week they applied to say we can use this technology and all these people that need masks, they can just send the masks and we can get these up dirt cheap and have them reuse them. Instead of approving it, they said, no, we're gonna let you know. And they waited on that for four days for approved technology. And then they said, well, we'll let you do 10,000 at a time.
Oh, God.
You can do 160,000 a day.
Yeah, it's all
That's government.
Where do we, you know, we had Ramey Johnson on, a Lakewood City Councilwoman on Friday, and she said, you know, I'm not going to get into whether I agree with Trump is or isn't doing, but she said, my real concern here is the process. She said, we have unelected officials making massively devastating decisions for thousands and thousands and thousands of people, the economy, who knows what's going to happen. And she said, this process concerns me, nor does it seem, and that's what I want to ask you about, is there any way, so if we've got this health department order and then Polis's order, I go back to, you know, you were in government. How do we start saying, you know what? No, I'm going to open my restaurant. And I mean, how do we, because I just
don't
fear,
be the first one.
Yeah, don't be the first one. But I just fear that they're going to say, hey, look, we need to continue monitoring your cell phones. We're going to continue. Not only are we going to track how many vehicles, we're going to track which vehicles, which they can do, right? How do we avoid that? And then they say, well, we're going to keep doing this forever in case this happens again. That's, and I know it sounds crazy, but
it's
not crazy, I don't think.
No, it is not.
Well, I think the biggest challenge that we have right now, of course, is we don't have power over that bureaucracy that's making us do this right now. Right. I think there's many that hope that at least the president's his actions are going to give us a little bit of faith and support. But as I told somebody the other day, I said, when you have tyranny in the state of Colorado, you know, Washington, D.C. is probably not going to help save you.
No.
So, you know, we have a, first of all, I mean, let's talk about the positive news. Positive news, you mentioned that the legislature met, I guess, with another 3-day extension probably so they can get word from the Supreme Court, whether the state Supreme Court, whether it's 120 days consecutively or not. So let's not take a look at the positive here is that there are so many bad bills out there that'll probably die. And maybe government will have a little less money if we don't bail them out again. But really, you have to take a look at it. You have to say, what really makes your life better and worth living? Is it government? Is it that false sense of security that government somehow gives you? Or is it your own individual liberty and your freedom to make decisions on your own without interfering with other people around you, their life? If you have to take a look at that, it really comes down to that vision, either on one side or on the other side. And then there's that fear factor, Chuck, whether it's legitimate fear or whether it's just crazy fear that gets involved and sometimes gets good people distracted from really what we should be all about. So really the focus has to be coming back. If it interferes with individual liberty and freedom, and if it grows government, it's not good.
Yeah.
If it is somehow necessary, it has to fit through some kind of very small sieve for a very, very short period of time.
Exactly.
And then we have to demand that it's removed. And anybody, any politician that doesn't believe that needs to go now.
As a practical matter, and we're talking to Tim Neville, he's a former state senator, the patriarch of the Neville clan. and you know, that statement, which resonates totally with me, but to all my Democratic friends, they would find that horrific. They would find that statement, you'd be compared to a Nazi or something.
But we have been compared to Nazis. Yeah. Well, they tried it. You know, the good thing is I think President Trump has taught us all how to fight back a little bit, right? There was a time, I mean, they've been calling us Nazis or writing mean things about us and don't even care, right? Because it's and if nothing else, maybe you don't agree with me and maybe you don't agree with us. Well, then show us the statistics, you know, convince us. And if you can't convince us.
They're not into that. They don't like convincing. They like shaming. Right. It's much more effective.
But I think, you know, again, your initial point to me with that letter is you look at the timing where things, President Trump seems to have everything under control. His approval numbers are going up. Joe Biden is just a joke, right? And all of a sudden, boom, all the Democrat governors and mayors of big cities and states all over the country suddenly declare these stay-at-home orders that create even more chaos and uncertainty. And you're right, don't believe in coincidences.
Well, I think I mentioned in that piece that I wrote that the first dictum by anybody that's a legislator in a position of authority should be, you know, sort of like the poor man's Hippocratic Oath. First, do no harm. You know, it was like when I first went to my first job, and I remember the boss said to me, kid, whatever you do, do something, but try not to screw it up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they have the do something piece, but they don't have the try not to screw it up because they feel like I have to do something. And even if it's the wrong thing, I'm going to do it because then I am seen as being an effective leader. And my gosh,
that is so wrong. I'm going to tell a story. This is exactly right. When I was a kid, my first job, my dad had a nursery, right? And one of our first jobs, we had my sister and I, we had to prune the trees. And so my dad, hundreds of trees, right? And my dad said, okay, prune them all, show their height. Right. Well, the problem was the trees were only this tall. But my sister and I, my poor dad, we went out and we dutifully pruned all the trees to show their height. And he came home and there were all these like spears standing there. Right. And I'll never forget, he just looked at us and he's like, what were you thinking? You, like you said, prune it to shoulder height. I mean, and that's kind of where we are. It's like, we're gonna prune everything to shoulder height and we're going to destroy, there's going to be nothing left. Not nothing, but I mean, if we're not careful.
Well, the sad part about it is that the left hopes it is an economic disaster because that's a recession, election coming up. This is
exactly right.
Yeah. I mean,
their goal is to grow government. Their goal is to grow government and grow dependency upon that government.
Right.
Okay? Right.
Our goal has to be to focus on empowering people and letting them lead their lives. And we realize as conservatives that government can't save us from all these ills and that the strength of our country comes from that liberty and that freedom.
Right.
You know, even with President Trump, I think he's at a point right now, you know, I pray that he's getting good, you know, sound counsel. But I understand that all those healthcare folks have a very narrow window of view regarding the issue. But I want to see more people coming on talking about the economic impact. Not necessarily, you know, Mnuchin and those people. I want to see business people coming on and saying, why can't my business be open for business?
Right.
And here's what I'm going to do to protect my employees. Here's the other thing, too. I get so tired of the left saying, oh, you know, you're a business owner or whatever else, and they're all bad, and they just want to kill their customers and their employees. I'm like, how stupid are you?
Right, exactly. Well, and like I said, they're all working for the government or working for news organizations. Well, getting paid.
The one thing you don't worry about is not one government worker will miss one paycheck through this entire crisis.
No, when I grew up, I was in the restaurant business. So I was that hourly employee. Yeah. I moved out of home when I turned 17. So I was paying rent. I was going to junior college. I was working in restaurants, you know, for tips, whatever else I could do, extra shifts. You know, didn't go hungry because when you work in a restaurant, you know, and you work a lot, you get fed. So you didn't go hungry.
You're around food. Yeah.
But I also understood that if I didn't work, I didn't get a check. And I think most of these people have never missed a meal.
Right.
Have always had somebody to pick them up if they crashed and burned.
Right.
And don't understand what these folks are going through. They don't understand what happens when they can't pay their rent. And then they also they have a solution to that. Yeah, we're going to give you a rent holiday.
Yeah.
But then you have landlords who
pay a mortgage.
Right.
And the mortgage company
is
a bank, and the bank doesn't get paid, they go under. I mean, they say, well, okay, let's have rent holidays. Okay, let's have mortgage holidays. Let's have bank holidays. I mean, they follow it through about a half an inch from their nose. That's as far as they go.
But back to what you said, though, you know, Julia said, what can you do? So this week, in my opinion, is the week that everybody needs to start pushing back at their elected officials and say, we know we have some healthcare concerns that are being addressed. And there's a lot of activity on that way. And we're actually starting to see the numbers start to tail down. The whole idea was to, I think it was that Steve Hilton said, flatten the curve, don't flatten the economy.
Right.
I think that's important. So you have.
Let me explain that. If you flatten the curve, you flatten the economy. All flattening the curve means is it's, instead of going up and down, it goes flat and it extends longer. You're extending the life of the virus. In return, you're going to extend you're going to flatten the economy. By flattening the virus curve, you flatten the economy ipso facto.
You're exactly right. Now, the challenge there, though, is, and what the president's probably dealing with right now, let's face it, there might be a health challenge, but there's a political challenge is really what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking about the political challenge. We're talking about the challenge of all those people that are scared or in fear or whatever else. And the whole electorate out there that possibly is still getting caught up because what do they see in the news?
Right. It's all there is in the news.
For one particular group, I mean, it looked like we had finally one coronavirus death from somebody under 40. Nope, didn't turn out that way. So nobody under 40 has died. They've died from Coke machines falling on them in this state more often. I mean, the amount of people are scared, often they're just, you know, you kind of go, what are you scared of exactly? I mean, that's like,
Somebody told me about the, they were talking about fear and, you know, we're talking about automobile accidents and that type of thing. And I said, what about the, you know, this is the left's, you know, great, great little gem here in Colorado that they hold on to, the outdoor industry, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't get any greener. It doesn't get any more liberal. And trust me, I love the outdoors. Okay.
Right.
But the outdoor industry is a little bit different critter. Right. And so, based upon their logic, I asked this individual, I said, well, based upon what you're saying, then we should close the down the entire outdoor industry in Colorado, not just this year, every year. There are a number of deaths.
We could save just one life by closing down the industry.
No more anything.
So I think the key thing, though, is it comes down to the political issue of putting enough pressure on specific individuals, and then hopefully the people that say that they're conservative, and this is the only thing I can always focus on, hold their feet to the fire and say, if you basically give Tri-County or Jefferson County Health or somebody else addicted to control our lives and they do it in a poor process, we can't go after them, but we sure can go after you, and we
will. Exactly. All right, Tim, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on, Tim. Good to see you.
Appreciate it. Nice to see you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right, thank you, sir. Senator, former State Senator Tim Neville there. Just a really interesting letter. We're going to switch over now. I have to put my glasses on because people are texting me. Jan had a good question. Jan, we'll ask him next time for that.
Well, that's right. He's right there.
Jan, can you still hear Jan Cook? And you can come on up too. Jan said she wanted to say, what would you do if you were governor? Whoop, we might have lost him. Well, Jan, our screen is kind of frozen here. Jan, that was a good... Oh, Tim, can you hear us still? What would you do if you were governor?
If I were governor, I would take a look and I would challenge anyone in the health department to say why these businesses cannot be open.
Yeah, good
idea. In other words, the default position should be freedom and liberty, not governmental control. Now, there may be certain businesses that are going to have to be required to take certain steps if that's the case. That's fine. You can do that. But the default position should not be governmental control and closing down those businesses and those economies just de facto.
Right. All right. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Thank you, Tim. Now we'll bring up Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force. Hey, Jan, thank you for your time. You know what? I want to let folks know what we're doing is every Monday we're going to be checking in with Jan. The plan was originally you were going to be reporting from the state legislature.
Right.
Granted, that's not there today. But what you were kind of keeping track of what was going on today. So what's the latest? Because they were supposed to all come back today and start passing more horrible bills. That didn't happen. What did happen? Uh-oh. We might have lost Jan. Jan, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, you're frozen. You're frozen. The internet is slow.
What did happen is that, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you too. We're seeing you frozen, but I think that's just the internet.
Uh-oh.
Can I call in? Do you want me to call?
Yeah, go ahead, call it.
Why don't you do that? Let me give you the number. Thank you, Jan. The call-in. So the call-in number, not much, now we see her, but it's 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Hey, while she's calling in, actually that lets me tell folks this. You might notice, Chuck and I did put on our TV makeup and everything, right? I give Chuck a little brush. But the YouTube folks and the internet, because it's slow, one of the things they're doing is they're putting everything not in high definition anymore, but in standard definition. Right. So you might notice that'll go back. That's just to make everything move along a little slower. Also, this is my pitch here too. Jan and the folks at Colorado Freedom Force and to the Chuck and Julie show, what we really want to do is start bringing people live things as they're happening all around the state, stuff that that people need to know about. And YouTube says we have to have a certain number of subscribers before we can just start going live with mobile apps. So if you get a chance, just go to chuckandjulie.com. There's on the upper right hand, there's like a Facebook, a Twitter, and a YouTube. If you could just do us a great favor and click on the YouTube icon and go ahead and subscribe. There's nothing bad. We don't charge you. There's no charge. We don't send you a bunch of emails. But the more people who subscribe, the quicker we get. What we need is 1,000. And so if we get to 1,000, then we can start going live from mobile apps.
We're in the hundreds, so we're getting there.
We're in the hundreds. It's a slow process. And Jan is trying to do that with Colorado Freedom Force, too. Oh, she's texting me. Oh, okay. Now, all of a sudden, we can't hear her. 888, well, okay, so to the producers, I think Jan was calling in, 888-627-6008. And anyone else can call in, too, while we're waiting for Jan to get hold of us. You know, I think Tim Neville had the perfect point. You know, we heard the president just say, okay, we're going to go to April 30th. I don't know how we avoid that, right? You've got all these health people saying, oh, it could be 2 million. In a way, it's somewhat, depending how it all plays out, savvy politically, because then, you know, if 2 million people don't die, then everybody gets to say, yay, we won it, right? On the other hand, you know, like Tim said, I think that but the thing that really makes sense is that it should be, rather than just saying, okay, we're going to shut everybody down, and then a few who coincidentally happen to have big, strong lobbies, right, then they get to stay open. I think that he's right. You know, my brother, for instance, is working with a company in Florida, and they do a lot of construction stuff. And he said what they have to do, they can stay open, but what they have to do is they have to show that they're cleaning the vehicles and that they're doing the social distancing. And
Colorado, you don't have to do any of that. You know, if you're building an apartment house, you're all set.
Well, and I wonder, is there a connection, do you think, between the developers and the developer lobby and, again, the people who get to stay open? I go back to...
Well, the people who are making the decisions are just sitting there with a group of industries, and they probably don't get a lot of political pressure unless the governor calls them or something. But they're making, you know, bizarre... You know, they're just trying to do the best they can, but
right.
Is there any rhyme or reason to any of it? No, there's no rhyme or reason to it, and it should be, but you know, this state is controlled by Democrats, is going to be
totally
continue to be controlled by Democrats until Republicans figure out how to get rid of ballot harvesting, and they're not trying, so Democrats can be charged for a long time.
I'm more hopeful than you, we'll get into that in a second. We've got Jan with us now. Hey, Jan, thank you for playing with our technology here.
Not a problem. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we
sure
can. Hear you.
Okay.
But you were just, it was freezing. I think that was just the internet.
The internet.
Yeah, no worries. So, and they were saying, your producer said they're having technical difficulties in large areas across the country, so it's not unique to you.
Okay.
So what happened this morning was both chambers, the House and the Senate, did not have a quorum. And so what happened was they adjourned. And the House is definitely, well, supposedly, is going to meet on Thursday, April the 2nd in the morning. But when I was listening to the Senate chamber, the president, Leroy Garcia, simply said that they didn't have enough for a quorum, and so therefore they were going to adjourn. But he didn't say that they were going to meet on Thursday.
Yeah.
And so I did reach out to Legislative Legal Services, which is that the nonpartisan in-house
right.
legal services, both for the legislature as well as for citizens. And they confirmed that the House is going to meet again on April the 2nd, but they even have on their website, they do not have a specific date and time when the Senate is going to meet again. I mean, we can assume it's going to be on the 2nd. But so far in calling them and also what's on their website, they don't say right now.
Well, and here's how there's a series of a variety, I guess I should say, of issues going on here. One, they've asked the Colorado Supreme Court to hurry up and issue a decision. If they take a break, right, because they're supposed to go 120 days, right?
Right.
Does it have to be consecutive days or can this be a break? So they got to wait for that.
Well, the answer to it is it clearly has to be consecutive. And everybody knows it has to be because the language is pretty clear.
Otherwise, they could just have special sessions all over the place.
Yeah, you never end. You just go, I will go a week here, a week there. But as a practical matter, you know, the law is the law. So you ask the Supreme Court, which is all Democrats, and the Democrats have all said, we want to be able to keep on going. Republicans have written a letter where 90% of them or 95% say they don't want to do it. But, you know, they can do whatever they want. And it's an advisory opinion, although it's, you know, what does that mean?
I do think it's interesting, though, that we haven't heard yet. And that is kind of what interesting how. I just find it a little interesting that they haven't by the end of last week, which was when it was anticipated that they would have some sort of rule. I'll tell you something else. They call this a tell. when something comes up that is saying, it tips the hand or tells you something.
Right.
Interesting. Did you read the article in Complete Colorado about the special interest groups that have collectively come together in one lawsuit to ask that the legislature continue business as usual? And the brief was filed by a group called Toward Justice.
I did read that. Let's go through the list of usual suspects who are in this group,
Progress
Jan.
Now,
Progress Now, ACLU, right?
Right, but here's what's interesting. They filed it collectively under a group that calls themselves Left Alliance. In the article, I was, you know how you put the underscore and you can click on it and it'll take you to some more information or reference organization or whatever? They didn't have this in the article, and frankly, I've been having a hard time researching exactly who Left Alliance is. But what is outlined in the article that the group includes, and I'm just going to give you highlights of the groups. The ACLU of Colorado, just like you just said, Julie. Another one is the American Federation of Teachers.
Yay.
Another group that's always at the Capitol, the Bell Policy Center.
Oh, yeah, they're great. They're great.
Another one you'll know, Colorado Fiscal Institute. So these are some of the groups, and there's a whole bunch of them there, and they consider themselves left of center. Now, keep this in mind. They're part of a group called Left Alliance.
Right.
But when they testify at the Capitol, what do these groups always say? A nonpartisan.
Yeah, nonpartisan. They're all nonprofits. Here's another thing, too. I'm just going to say,
and total common.
Call me crazy, but Left Alliance sounds kind of like Democracy Alliance. Mm-hmm. And isn't that giant George Soros organization? The people are... Okay. So, so that's right. So that's kind of interesting, Jan, that you'd think the state Supreme Court could have ruled, but coincidentally, this very progressive, very left group has now, pushed this. And here's the other concern I have is, one, it's clear when they started talking about meeting, it was clear from some of the letters going back and forth that a lot of the legislators didn't want to come to the Capitol. So they knew they weren't going to have a quorum anyway. So I find that weird that they went ahead and met. The other thing is, I see this again as all just an attempt to make sure that citizens have zero input, right? Because if we're all in a stay-at-home order and they go back to the Capitol, well, obviously we can't come testify, right?
Well, what they can do is they could certainly open it up because they have the capability for remote testimony. But what a lot of people don't realize is the remote testimony is really poorly constructed because you have to go to certain locations like colleges in rural areas and you have to aggregate. So that would be a problem.
You couldn't even do that, right? Well, the other thing is,
now you're asking people to go to places that they can't go to anyway, and that would be very unfair to them. You couldn't have equality in testimony even if it were offline. You couldn't do it.
Right.
One thing courts can't decide, it's because there's a division in the court. Now they're all left wing, but they want to have a consensus.
One might be worried about the Constitution.
Yeah, one might be. And so they're trying to come to grounds in which they all can agree, because they don't want to have a 4-3 decision or something like that, because then it brings into question whether the decision is right. It's only advisory in the first place. So they may be struggling to try to come up with something they all can sign off on and go, there you go, you can trust.
Well,
that.
To me, it's a straightforward yes or no, right?
I know that's a legal thing, but
the other thing that kind of concerns me about this, Jan, and great work is always kind of getting some of this information out there. It seems to me I could see if maybe like the retail industry or the construction industry or somebody like that was writing some kind of brief, because they felt that there were laws that they needed to talk about that would have an impact on their business. But it concerns me that the people who are filing briefs are these very progressive philosophy kind of organizations, right? The only bills they want are ones that are going to stifle our freedom and our liberty. It doesn't have anything to do with business or anything like that. That worries me, because you got to wonder, why is it that they're so antsy to get everybody back there at the state capitol, except, of course, for the citizens?
Yeah. Well, the thought that people have put forward are a couple things. One, they have bills that are going to add millions to our budget.
Right.
And their concern, what people are speculating, is that they don't know what how the House is going to be and the Senate are going to fare through the November 2020 election.
Ah.
And so their fear is, could some of the bills, our pet bills, could they be in jeopardy, not only for this year, but potentially depending on the November election?
Good point.
But to the citizens of Colorado, what they're concerned about and what we're seeing in the posts on Facebook is that they want the legislature to have the same accountability that the citizens have.
Yes.
Meaning, hey, your essential job is to pass the budget. Your essential job is three basic things: to pass the budget, the School Finance Act, and the rules bill. Stick with the essentials, like you're asking the business sector to do, you're asking citizens to do. You know, in all fairness, that's what the citizens are saying.
You know, Jan, that's a perfect point, because you're absolutely right. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, this throws everything, you know, any kind of even, you know, guesstimate out the window in terms of the election.
We know
though, that the progressives at the state capitol, they were running full force right up until this, right?
They are not concerned. Right. They're going to lose the House or the Senate. The ones I talked to are not the least bit concerned. What they are terrified of, in their own way, is how much of a dent is this going to make in the economy, which can't be known. And they'll be passing bills that really can't be funded, and therefore are in some ways, what are they? They are scared of that. As far as elections goes, they've rigged it. They have no fear they're going to lose the Senate. They have no fear they're going to lose the House.
All right, so let's say that you're correct on that. The other thought that I had was that they've also invested a lot of time, money, and energy in these bills.
Yes, yes.
They spend a lot of money before these bills ever finally get the light of day and actually get on paper.
Right.
So there is a return on investment that they're losing.
If
they don't get these through, they got to focus on these again. And they don't want to do that because they have got other bills they want to push forward.
No, and Jan, you're right. From a citizen's point of view, like you said, all the rest of us are having to push back, or pull back rather, and focus on the necessary, right? This is not the time when you're like, you know, I think I'm just going to remodel my bathroom or something like that, right? Right now, everybody's focused on the necessary, and the legislature should do the same thing. Like you said, what we need to pass are the budget, some of those other bills. They don't need a whole ton of extra time to do that. They can just get that done. And that's the kind of thing.
But you're thinking like a Republican, and the Republican. Republicans are not in charge. They're thinking, what can we get through? What won't happen?
But no one's paying attention.
Well, they don't care if you pay attention. Who is the Denver Post going to pay attention?
When I looked at the calendar, both for the House and the Senate this morning, even though there were rumors that there weren't going to be enough of a quorum and they probably weren't going to actually be able to have the session today in both chambers, those calendars are chock full of second and third reading bills. Chuck's point, I was expecting to get online and see a little calendar about whether they should continue on or if they received the ruling from the Supreme Court. And no, it was business as usual. Let's get these bills through today. And so it was by the grace that we could have another 3-day reprieve. But I'm not going to be surprised if the calendar's full again for Thursday.
Do you think, were they trying to be sneaky, Jan?
They don't have to be sneaky.
All right. Sneaky as far as we're concerned, where they're trying to say, hey, look, we know that not everybody's going to come. We're hoping that we can at least convince enough of our lawmakers, the Democrat lawmakers, who show up so we can just start ramming this stuff through. Do you think, because I was like, why are they even bothering, right? Why are they even pushing this? But it sounds like from what you said, that's what they were trying to do, is to just get this all done when people were focused on other stuff.
They don't care if you're focused on it. They could care less.
The one thing that they didn't have a lot of were the committee meetings, which hears all of the other bills. That's the piece that's not there. The only thing that they can push forward are the bills that have made it through appropriations can get on the floor now. So they are at sort of a stop place because they can't get through, unless they do start up again, they can't get through the bills in the normal process right now. and to get it to appropriations and then over to the floor.
You know, and you have a point. I was reading, right, one of the last things before all of this went crazy, right, is one of the last bills that Polis signed was to get rid of Columbus Day and to make it Mother Cabrini Day, which, of course, we know they're going to get rid of Mother Cabrini, too, because they don't like her in New York.
She can be Jennison, too.
Yeah, because she's Christian. I mean, it's like, so in all of this, Polis had time to get rid of, you know what I mean? And you're right. Yeah. It's like, why were they rushing that? Why didn't he just sign that? Couldn't he say, look, we're dealing with a crisis here. We're going to have to
because
worry about
that's
parades
not,
later.
That's not how they think. Yeah. You're thinking like a Republican, and they don't think like Republicans. They have a different
agenda.
One
other thing that we had left off last Monday on was this whole COVID-19 relief fund.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that beauty.
I just wanted to bring up real quick how people can find out about that is helpcoloradonow.org. And I have to tell you, I pulled off the COVID relief fund application. It is geared toward various nonprofits getting these funds.
Right.
To me feels like very much a fundraising program right now. Then it feels like true relief to people who absolutely need it. It feels very bureaucratic when you read through the whole thing, lots of red tape. At the end of the day, I don't know how much this is going to help people.
None. People, it's not designed to help people.
No,
it's designed to help nonprofits.
Didn't they, Jan?
Just like the theater. The theater wasn't really there to help anybody, and it wouldn't give one penny to one person if the governor had had his way, except we brought it up, others brought it up.
Yeah, we're a theater, right.
And they finally, and a New York attorney sued them, and they went, okay, we'll give the money out. None of these are intended to be for average everyday people or for relief.
They're for all the lefties.
Yeah.
And when you look at this, this is a nationwide united way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Because and once again, I'll point out
to a crisis. That's when these groups they get a surge in money thinking they're going to help everybody. Really what ends up happening sadly is it mostly goes to administration of these non-for-profit groups. And they're operating, but really down to the level of the person, the hairdresser that's not working, the male person that's not working.
They could care less.
The staff that's not working.
Could care less.
What did Governor Polis say in his last week thing? He said, hey, don't worry. The government's good. That bill's going to get passed and money will come into your pocket soon.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, your $78 check, right? No, you're absolutely right, Jan. I mean, they flat out said that the money that you give to this relief fund that Polis set up is not going to go directly to any business. It's going to go to proven, which means Democrat, community-based organizations. Well, what's a community? It's a nonprofit, right? Then it's not going to go to anybody's
restaurant. Proven record of helping.
Nobody's hair salon. Nobody's.
And then somebody has to figure it out there that they can call and apply for the funds. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get them.
No,
it's not. And again, I'm
you
only
better
gonna,
have some friends in Democratic circles.
I know if you're a therapist or a counselor, you can.
Well, left wing. All of them are left wing.
Jan, let me final question for you. Just is there anything else? But then also, I'd like to have you explain to folks because you guys at Colorado Freedom Force do such a great job. Where can they find out more about you and help you guys?
Well, if they go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com, one area I'd like them to click on is that we've got how they can get involved, and they'll see a citizens, when they click on that, citizen petition. And there's three currently, right, against three different bad bills. One actually is a good bill, two bad ones. And then we are toying with two other ones that are coming up that maybe on if they're available before Monday, I'll shoot you a text and let you know about them or an email. But if they go there, that's real important. And I might do a citizen action since we have these 3 days on our Facebook page, Colorado Freedom Force. I might suggest that people call the legislature and let them know that they only want them to do these three areas that we talked about, passing the budget bill, and no non-essential bills.
Right. All right.
So that might be something we'll be working on.
Perfect. Jan, thank you so much. As always,
Take
appreciate
care,
your
Jan.
Time.
Take care.
Thank you.
And Tim Neville had texted me saying, with the $800 million shortfall, they have a funding problem for any of their legislation.
Well, but some have already gone through the appropriations.
Right. Committee. Well, and that's what I'm wondering is one of the reasons, because I was like, what's the rush, right? Polis is like saying we're in this lockdown. They're waiting for the Supreme Court thing. Why are they pushing to get back when there was pretty clear they weren't going to have everybody there, right? And then it sounds like you said, so let me ask you a question. So if it passed the appropriations this year, even though we know that probably next year there's not going to be the money for it, it can still go into law and there can be a, hey, we're going to deal with it later kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
So it can be, and then they can say, well, it's the law, right? We have to set up the heroin injection site.
Then the bureaucracy or the governor gets to kind of go, well, we can afford these. We can't afford this.
I see.
You know, I mean, you best of all worlds, you know, this is going to help after.
You know, and here's the thing, you know, that this is my kind of, because we got a few more minutes here. Somebody wants to call up. We got time. Have time. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. I think that the President Trump is, I think, doing the best he can. I think he's in a darned if he does, darned if he doesn't point. He's being forced into things. But I think that Tim Neville said it really well. What we need to do is start shifting our focus and saying, okay, rather than just saying everything shut down indeterminately and that a bunch of health bureaucrats are going to give us the blessing as to when everybody can like start earning a living again, I think it should start shifting the other way around, right?
Who?
I think
who's going to shift it around?
Well, us. I guess that's
who's
what
us.
People. Chuck and Julie listeners. No, for real. I mean, people. Because
they're not going to shift it around because the governor's not going to shift it around. The legislature's not going to shift it around because they don't want to shift it around. Bureaucracy is not going to shift it around because they don't want to shift it around.
What about businesses, though? I think there are enough
businesses. They don't care about business. They hate business. They think they're greedy capitalist pigs that ought to be killed.
Chuck, so we're doomed is what you're saying?
For this government, for Colorado government, yes, you're doomed.
Well,
you are doomed in Colorado. In case somebody hasn't figured it out.
No, I know.
They don't care. I mean, you think Hancock cares about Denver businesses?
No.
The only thing he cares about are the
developers.
People, developers. That's all. He doesn't care about the people on South Broad, or he wouldn't have put in bike lanes.
Or
he doesn't care about Cherry Creek or any of the rest of it. They don't care. I mean, you know, you can say all that, but as a practical matter, you know, until you go out in the streets and risk arrest or something, only short of that, they don't care. And neither does a lot of the people in the state, because they all work for the government or some variation or nonprofits or some other devil spawned organization.
Well, Chuck, that's depressing.
Well,
that's depressing. But well, okay. So hopefully I've refused to end the show on the doom and gloom. And
I saw Third
you're
Man.
You're probably right.
I saw Third
no,
Man.
No,
that
no, no.
That was great,
not great
movie.
Movie.
Great
I know.
1949. Go see
you know,
Third
this
Man.
Does one thing. I think that we do need to keep pushing. I think Tim Neville is right that the least, you know, you do what you can, right? And what you can do, I think, is you continue to ask questions. You continue
yes.
to say, is this necessary?
Well, you send out letters like Tim did.
Right,
and you, try
and you
to
show me. And I think what you do is you let other people know, if you're sitting home thinking this, why am I closed? But this other business
you
isn't.
Faith Winters, our state senator. Do you think she cares?
No, but I think if enough people start saying, wait a minute,
no,
why?
If everybody in our Senate district told her, she could care less. She could care
Chuck, you're going
less.
Back to depressing again. You're going
it's not
back,
depressing. I, that's who she is.
You're going back to reality. So
yeah,
reality.
That's who she
but
is.
But I think, though, it is important. You can't just roll over, right? I think you do, God,
well,
you do what you can do.
You do what
and
you
what
can do.
What you can do,
yes,
do
yes,
is
yes,
to
yes,
keep asking questions.
Yeah.
And then I want to end this on one other thing, too, is what are they doing? We've talked about this at our house in Hollywood, just on a lighter note. Does anybody notice this? So we go every night. We're like, okay, what should we, well, every morning even anymore, right? What should we watch? We have literally thousands of movies to choose from. And you're like, that's awful. That's awful. Zero interest in that. What are these people in Hollywood doing? What are they making all these movies? There's like five that are actually good. I mean, we're forced, and I'm sorry, but it's not that great to all the people who think it is to watch Tiger King. It's okay.
Pretty good.
It's okay. Well,
I like it.
All right. But I mean, still, with all of the money.
Killing, murder, snakes,
and that's,
boxes.
But, I mean, and that's a reality show shot probably on a shoestring budget, you know, and
yeah,
if Tiger
pretty
King.
Good. Pretty good.
Why don't we just close down Hollywood, I guess is what I'm saying. Get rid of those stupid celebrities who are all fleeing and posting from their yachts and their islands with their gloves and stuff like
right,
that, right?
Right?
We can just go and all just watch Tiger King reruns. That's just That's just my thought for today.
It's better than the Avengers.
Hey, why don't you? Hey,
don't say that.
And not Fast and Furious.
No.
We want to thank ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Great website, Colorado's great conservative great voice. People. A good place.
You
to-
won't know what's going on unless you check them out every day. Every day.
And exactly. And so don't, even if you agree with Chuck, who could be right about that, you need to, they at least are doing their best to keep us informed. And that's a start, right? Because if you have information, then you can start making decisions on your own. Agree with us or disagree. One other thing too, go ahead. You can get, follow us at chuckandjulie.com. You can listen live there. You can catch the podcast. If you go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie. You can also find we're on Podbean, iTunes, iHeart. We're even up on Periscope too. So we're all over the place.
You can't get rid of us.
You cannot get rid of us. We're all everywhere. You can,
all
you
and I want to thank all the BBS people. And they're just great. They're just wonderful out there. They really are.
All right. So that's it.
All right. Everybody take care. We'll be back Wednesday for more happy good news for each and every one of you. Till then, take care.